Oh, I still feel it. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Hallelujah, he's worthy. My God is worthy. My God is worthy. I wish somebody would praise him. I wish somebody would praise him. Hallelujah. Stay with me a little bit. I feel like celebrating. Let's just celebrate God's goodness. Amen. Would you go to Joshua chapter 1? And Ben, just go back there where you were. We're gonna just lay this out as the Lord is laying on my heart. And is Sean in the house? Is Sean in the house? Where are you, Sean? Okay, we're gonna be coming to you after the end of the message today. So. And is Sean Jr. in the house too? All right. Joshua chapter 1. From the rising of the sun. Do you have your Bible? If you get this, you would understand what they're singing about. Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Stay with me, man. The son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Everyone say this Jordan. Yes, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Do you see that? From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the what? Shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people, somebody say this people, shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Don't you know there's property that should have come to you that your foreparents could not get because they lacked in their belief in God? It wasn't because they weren't converted, but they didn't move forward in their belief in God. And some of us were robbed because we didn't know how to praise God. Mm-hmm. We were robbed because we didn't know how to praise God. Number 7, only Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals. For within 3 days, how long? It doesn't take long for the Lord to bless, amen? For within 3 days, how long? You shall pass over this Jordan to go in to do what? Possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it, amen? Now, if you receive that with me, let's just praise God again. Choir, could you just take us back there to the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same? Let's just bless God and let this word sink in our hearts. I know, Glenn, we're working you today, man, but we didn't come for an order of service. We came for a breakout, amen? We've had enough breakthroughs. We want to just get it all done, amen? Come on, somebody help them sing it. You know the words from the rising of the sun. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. My Lord is worthy to be praised. I review what we have gone over so we can continue to add on to and build properly. I don't want you to misunderstand our worship and praise. There was a time when I was a spectator in worship and praise. I didn't understand it. I really didn't, and now I'm understanding that's really how you make it, by praising God. You praise, and you have a breakthrough in praise. It takes you to a whole new level in God. And the interesting thing, when you come to church, some people want to look at you praising God, and sometimes the enemy will whisper, look at how funny you look. And you can whisper right back if you want to, you should have saw me before I praised the Lord, amen. You know, really. I mean, life is just that serious. And so when we come together to praise God, I wish we would praise him more. Amen. I really do. We want to understand what it's about and how it works. And part of my struggle today, I there's so much I want to share and say, and I'm understanding what God is doing. It's blowing my mind. I'm really am understanding a lot of what God is doing, and I want to share it with you, because I want everyone in this ministry to be successful in every area of their life. Every area where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. And so I want to review what I've said. Now I got to keep your attention. And look, my friends are here. I got to keep your attention. I have about 8 pages of notes that I want to review. And then I would like to get into something from there. And then I other stuff down the road. But God will make it plain. Amen?
Amen.
Let's review. We've been talking about God controls what he says. Which means 1 week I have to do a sermon on the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts. Because our destiny does not change until our words change. And so many of us dig up our harvest by our words. And we don't understand that. And so the Bible said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I've been asking God, why don't you help us? But the rules of the game seem to be the way it is played. The Spirit can come in you and lead you if you study to show yourself approved. But if you don't do that, if you are settled at the level you are with God and that's all you know, there's so much more you would never have access to. You follow, and then God said, man, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So we're going to have to mature in that. But God controls what he says. God is not, what is the term? He's not careless with the words that comes out of his mouth. You know, He doesn't need forethought because what he says is, but he controls what he is, very deliberate about what he says. And then once God says something to me, then I have to do what he says, right? Let me review this because I got to go somewhere today and I want you to hear that. God plans ahead. He does what? He always plans ahead. So, what he says that you need, or he deals with a need in your life, he meets the need before you are aware that it is a need. That's where he's trying to get the children of God. The world is not going to understand that, but all of our needs have been met before we became aware we had a need. And our job is simply to do whatever he says. Now, his words are containers. His words are what? Remember, there is a world inside of every word of God. Inside of a word from God is an entire world. You remember when God said light? That included a lot of things more than light. So all you need is a word from the Lord, right? And then what God says never dies. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, some of the saints are still looking at me funny, but that's okay. That's how God can give you eternal life and allow you to die and yet say you have eternal life, because his word never dies. Because with the issue with God is not your death. He's already established the date of your resurrection. And so he says death is like a sleep, and we go to sleep every night. Some of us sleep during the day if we can. Amen. Amen. So now I have to get to the point where my life is being lived by the rhythm of the word. The word washes. The word changes. What God says never dies. And because God plans in advance, you never have a problem you have to meet without God. When your problems show up, God has already solved that problem. The word has gone ahead of you, right? So we talked about that. You remember that? I'm just reviewing. Terry, I got good news for you, right? Now, once we know how God does what he does, and he does what he does by words, he uses words, then we need to see how will God supply our every need. You remember we talked about that? Remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve? Somebody here remember when we talked about Adam and Eve? Okay, please. Yes, Adam and Eve were like the starter couple. They were seed from God, so God can get to know Joel. So in order to know Joel, like I want to know her in the time frame, I'm going to get Adam and Eve started 6,000 years before your birth. And I will wait long enough so Joel can be born. And then I can get to know her, right? So they're his starter plan. So God, now, I've come to believe, and I made this statement last week, that God receives everything he receives on this earth through the law of sowing and reaping. Adam and Eve were seed that God sowed, and I don't mean sowing like this, but sow, planted in the world for you and I to be the harvest, right? Even when God sent Jesus into the world to save the world, Jesus came as seed. Jesus did not come to the world as a full-grown man with a full-grown beard and rough hands and strong arms, but he came as seed, as a baby boy born in a homeless situation. And Jesus, God's greatest seed, has produced the greatest harvest. So that at the end, there will be numbers of us saved that we cannot count. You remember the 12,000? And then there was a number that no man could number as a result of Jesus, the seed, being faithful what God has commissioned him to do. So God personally uses sowing and reaping to receive what he wants, right? So when God wants something, he plants a seed and he reaps a harvest from that seed. And then that harvest gives him what he needs. He plants a seed. The seed does not meet his need, but the harvest from that seed meets his need. And because God is teaching and training you and me to rule and reign on earth, God works on earth in the way he wants us to live on earth. So if we were to behave on earth like God behaves, then our actions will produce what God gets when he plants a seed. When God plants a seed, he receives from that seed an abundant harvest of what he's after. So the first thing God does is set an example for you and me that we're to live as God's pattern on earth. You remember that? I'm just reviewing. You remember that? Huh? You remember? Yes or no? Okay. The other point we made, because God works mostly with words, and his words are real, and he uses seed, most of your prayers come in what kind of form? Seed form. You remember? All right. I'm glad I'm reviewing. Because God mostly works with word and seed, most of your prayers come in seed form, because remember, God is into sowing and reaping. And you see the answers to your prayers, but you don't recognize them as answers from God because they come in seed form. Remember, the answers come to you in seed form, like frozen orange juice. Remember I talked about that? That faith is the water that you add to the frozen orange juice, but your obedience is the spoon that you use to stir up the orange juice. But if you just look at the lump of orange juice as it comes to you, it doesn't look like juice. It looks like a block of ice or whatever. Your answers from God come in seed form. God gives you what you need in seed form. And then I talked about the kinds of seed. You remember, time is a seed. You remember that? So what you're doing today is actually planting seed by your presence at church. Time is a seed. Money is a seed. Relationships are seed. Right? And I talked about how some of us eat our seed. And we waste our seed. And we wear our seeds. Right? Mm-hmm. You remember that? We don't recognize the answer when it comes in seed form because we're not tuned to the word of God. And we're not obeying what God has said. I'm just reviewing. Are you all still with me? Okay, let me go over it again to see. We started off then talking about God does most of his work with what? Words, right? And when God lets it out of his mouth, it's already done. When God says, "Son, hang out in the sky," it's up there in the sky, amen? It's done. If I have a word from the Lord, it is done. Do you have that? Okay. Even 6,000 years later, the sun is still in the sky. One word from God doesn't have to come back every morning around 6:30 and say, "Sun, come up." In fact, the sun doesn't come up, right? Which one is it? The earth is moving and the sun is there. Amen. So we say the sun is rising, but the earth is moving. Right? But however God put it up. So now if we would obey what God says, and if we filled ourselves up with the word of God, we would understand it. Your obedience is a seed. Your obedience is what? So when you obey God, you're planting seed that God will use for a harvest. You with me so far? That's review. Now you ready to work today? Okay, here's where we have to work. I know that when we put all of this together, we still have some questions that must be answered today. It seems to me that we need to answer the question, you ready? Since God does most of his work with seed, I need to know how to get some seed. Because if I can get the seed from God, I will get a godly sized harvest. Are you with me? If you are like me, you want a great harvest and you don't want to miss your next harvest. Anybody ever miss the harvest? So the question we're going to ask now, God, is there something I can do to receive seed from you so I can sow my seed and receive a great harvest? You ready? Let's go to work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to pick up reading verse number 6. All right, and we're going to study this today to make sure we have the principles in heart so we can apply them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's begin reading verse number 6, and we're going to read down to verse number 12. But this I say, he which soweth how, everyone? Sparingly, or, you know, they don't sow much, right? They're stingy with their sowing. Shall reap also what? Sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall do what? Reap also bountifully. Notice number 7. Every man according as he purposed in his what, everyone? Okay, so it has to be coming from your heart. It's not a number. It's from your heart. Amen? So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? And we can pause right here. Do you know why God loves a cheerful giver? Because that's the person he can give an abundant harvest to all the time. He can show himself to be God in their life all the time. Look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having what? All sufficiency in what? All things may abound to every good work. Now, that is a definition of where we want to go. Don't you want to be where, according to verse number 8, where God's grace is abounding toward you, and you're having all sufficiency in all things, and you're abounding to every good work? Don't you want to get there? As it is written, verse number 9, stay with me in your word. He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Verse number 10. Now he that doth what? Ministered what? Seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and does what? Increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. We will break that down a little more as we go. Let's back up. I'm trying to find out now how I can get seed. Why do I want seed? Okay, I want seed so I can plant it so that I can produce a what? Harvest. Now, in order for me to have seed to sow, verse number 10, it lets me know that God is the one that ministers the seed to who? Do you see that? Let's go up to verse number 9. Let's get it. He dispersed abroad. We know it's talking about God, right? He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth what? Seed to whom? The sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So where do I go to get my seed? God is the one who gives me the seed. And according to God, he gives the seed to who? The who? All right. So God gives the seed to the sower. Why does God give seed to the sower? Because God does what he does in what kind of form? Seed form. And because God knows if you have seed, you will reap a harvest, then God will go around giving you what? Seed, so that you can do what with it? You can sow so that you can receive a harvest. Now, we won't turn there, but I just want to mention as we get into this, Genesis chapter 8, 22. Write it down in your notes. God has a covenant with seed. He says, until the earth be removed, there will always be seed time and harvest. There will always be night and day. He makes that clear in the Bible, Genesis 8, 22. So until God changes this world, he has a covenant with seed that if you have seed and you plant it, you will always reap a harvest. The seed he gives you are the answers to your needs. What is seed? The seed he gives you are the answers to your needs. Again, what is seed? Seeds are the answers to your needs. That God is sending to bless you, and he blesses you by sending you seed. The seed he gives are the answers to your what? Need. So I go to God, listen, and I pray to God, my rent needs to be paid. He sends seed. He doesn't send rent. I go to God, God, I need to have my rent paid. Okay, I will give you seed. Because the seed is the answer to your need. God, send me rent. No, I'm sending you seed. I pray for a better job. He sends me seed, not a job, but seed for a better job. You got to come back next week. I'm going to open it up a little more because there's a part that man plays in this. But God, I pray for financial increase. God, I need you to bless you with bless me with financial increase. Okay, I'm going to bless you. How will you bless me? I will send you seed. I will go to God and say, God, send me wealth. God is not going to send me wealth. He's going to send me seed. And sometimes he sends that seed in the form of the power to get the wealth. I pray for better health. I'm not healthy. I need healing in my body. Okay, I'm going to heal you by sending you seed. Your healing is in your response to the seed. I need a better relationship. Okay, I'm going to send you seed. If you open your eyes and see how I use seed, you will see how I'm answering your prayer. The seed are the answers to your prayers. What does God do when you pray for him about your needs? He sends you the answer to your prayer by sending you seed before you are aware that you have a need. Which means then that you are already with seed. God has already given you what you need to solve the problems in your life. The only issue is you don't know what to do with seed. And because you're not full of the word of God, your eyes are not open, and you don't even see the seed. You are busy looking for the rent, and God has paid your rent with the seed. People have literally missed houses and cars because they misused the seed God gave them to plant for the house and to plant
they didn't understand it as seed. They didn't move on it and use it properly. According to the Bible, let's get the other point. God would not multiply your seed if you're not sowing seed. Some of you are not blessed more in life and you're not getting more seed because the seed God has given you, you have misused. So the first seed you need to deal with God about is the seed of repentance, where your own heart needs to go before God and confess the abuse of the seeds he has given. You don't get more seed because you're not sowing the seed you have. The next point, you don't live on the seed. You don't do what, everyone? You live on the, guess what? My notes, I'm not talking about you, so tell your neighbor I'm not talking about them, amen? But only a fool will eat their seed. Because they're going to need that seed to have a harvest. Only an ignorant man or woman will eat the seed that has been given to meet a need. And what a game we play on God, amen? God, I need you to answer my prayer. God answers your prayer in seed form. We receive the seed from God. We spin the seed. We wear the seed. And then complain to God for not answering our prayer. Man, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church, amen? Y'all are in trouble, amen? You should have been saying amen. I'm going to pause and work on that. Listen, let me tell you why I'm preaching this. I don't want to hear any more prayer requests that God just paid my light bill. That's the only kind of God we pray. God, thank God he paid my light bill. Is that all your God can do? I mean, I've been preaching to some of you for 6 years, and the best testimony you have is that God paid, and your light bill was only $60. Are you listening to me? I don't want to hear that anymore. I want to hear you shouting off of the fact that God paid your house off. No, no, no. Please don't clap unless you're a tither. Are you listening to me? Because if you're not tithing, you're up here playing. And I told you, don't amen me and don't clap me. It's not about that. Amen. I'm doing this thing for real. I'm trying to make sure your life changes, that when you come here, you get what you need. You need a change in relationships. God has already planted in your life what you need to do to change. Some of you, and I'm just looking over here to not to look at you, amen? Amen. But some of you will break up with the person you're hanging out with if you just started coming to prayer meeting. That's all you have to do is show up at prayer meeting, and the anointing of God on your life will cause them to back up. The answers to your prayer come in what kind of form? They come in what kind of form? Okay, they come in seed form from your God. Everybody say, my God. And one of the names of your God is Jehovah Jireh. You say, the Lord my provider. The text says, the Lord who sees. That he's a God who sees down the road what you will need, and he provides it before you see it. Because when he saw it, you were not born yet. And so to make sure you get what you need, he gives you seed along the way to produce the harvest for what you need. He's called Jehovah Jireh. And knowing that you will have a need, God sends seed in advance so you can give the seed, and so that seed can supply the need. You've gone to a concert and you couldn't get there in time for the tickets and everything. It's like the day before the concert and everything. And so you get on the phone with your credit card and you say, I want tickets. You know, I want so many tickets and everything. And what did it tell you? It's too late to mail it to you. All you have to do is arrive at the place and give us your name. It will be waiting at the... Huh? Yeah, the will call. I will call, for my tickets when I get there. That I'll get on the phone a day or two before and say, I have a need. In advance of the need, the tickets will be waiting for me when I get there and give them my name. God is doing the same thing when he gives you seed in advance of what you will need. So when you arrive, give them your name. I'm a child of God. I'm a sower. Therefore, I deserve a harvest. What does the Bible say about this? Let's go back to this text. Where were we? 2 Corinthians chapter 9? Let's open this text up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 10. What does it say? Now he that doth what? He that doth what? 2 Corinthians 9, 10. He that doth what? He that ministereth what? Seed to the sower, both what? Minister for your food and? So I have ministry. Watch this. I have multiplication and I have what else? Increase. Do you see that? I have what? Ministry. I have what else? Multiplication. And I have what else? Increase. Now, watch this word. What does the Bible mean when it says he that ministers? Stay with me, please. Stay with me. The word ministered here means choreograph. He choreographs, listen, getting seed into your hand. When you hear the Bible saying that, then we had the praise dancers up here, and they were doing, I am, you know, all this kind of stuff. You remember that? Those were choreographed moves, so they won't be bumping into each other. Those were planned moves that were planned before you got here to see what they were doing. So the Bible's saying God choreographs getting seed into your hand, right? So when you find out, I need to pay my bills. I need money, and I don't have it. Guess what? At that point, God is not trying to come up with your money. What has God done? Before you got there, God gave you some. God doesn't answer your prayer at the time you need an answer. He said, before you call. Isn't that what the Bible says? Before you get the words out of your mouth, the answer is already there. Why? Because before you knew that you had a need, I'd already given you seed. I don't just answer your prayer. I choreograph the answer. What does that mean? Before you were born, I already choreographed every step in your life. God knew exactly what you would need based on the bad choices you made in life, based on the wrong people you hung out with, based on your personality, based on the wrong things you allowed in your life, based on your bad decisions, crazy behavior, based on your grades in high school, your missing school assignments, the people you were running with. God knew all about you, so he had to choreograph your life. He had to plan it out like a dance move to make sure you would end up where you needed to end up to reap your harvest. And how did he choreograph it? I would drop you seed along the way. The Bible says in verse number 10, he that ministered seed to the sower, he choreographs. That word choreographs. It's like praise dance, right? Choreograph means to coordinate. It means to do what? It means to supervise. It means to put something together so that all things do what? Work together for good. That's choreograph movement from God. That is saying that as I live my life, God and I are just dancing together. Amen? Whether we're dancing a waltz or whatever, we're just dancing together. And he choreographs the moves, amen? And he's leading in the dance, amen? I'm just following his lead. And every now and then he'll spin me around this way. Why? Because my harvest is over here and not over there. He choreographs it. He arranges to give you bread. He makes sure that you're in the right place at the right time to receive the right seed from the right people to get the right harvest to meet your need. Mm-hmm. God would not only give you the seed, but he multiplies the seed. So God had to arrange, he had to plan, he had to supervise, he had to strategize so that you would get a divine blessing in every area of your life. Help me out, somebody. let's put out three chairs here, and I want to show you how this thing works. God choreographs. Let's put out three. Let's put one right here and one over there. Now watch what we're going to do here. One right there and one over there. We're going to put one right here and one on this corner. We're going to choreograph this thing, right? So will this card make it over here? Hopefully it will. Here's how God works it out. Here I am. I'm living my life for God, right? And I'm sitting here, and God knows I have a need. I'm trying to do the best I can in life, and God knows I'm going to get tired. I'm going to get worn out. I'm going to run out of strength, all these kinds of things. I'm going to have financial needs I don't even know that are coming up, right? But the Bible said the steps of a are what? Ordered by whom? Why? Because he's taking me to the next place of harvest or the next place to get seed. You remember the Pony Express? Back in the day, you heard stories about it. I'm not saying you're that old, amen. Some of the saints got offended. Pastor, I ain't that old. I look that old, but I ain't that old. Okay, that's all right. But anyway, you remember the Pony Express? They would run the horses between a stop and between the next stop, right? And the rider would get on the horse, right? And somebody had already planned in advance that we know your horse would be tired by the time you got here. So you would get off of your horse. We would give you a fresh horse. We would give you a change of clothes or another rider so that you can make it over to the next point. Huh? This is what God does. He choreographs your life because he knows that between this point and that point, you're only going to make it so far. And as long as you're obeying God, you will get to the right place. You will sit down and have the needs in your life met. But the problem we have, we won't stay on the path with God. We go off in disobedience. And guess what? The chair's not over there. The chair's over here. I will give you seed to meet your need. As long as you obey me, every need in your life will be met. The lie of the devil is church folk don't believe that from God. They've learned to live below the status as sons and daughters of God. So they hear a word like this, and they'll say, man, I messed up so bad. God can't get me out of my situation. Child, God won't even have to roll over to help you. Amen? If you cooperate with what he's already set up for you, he will have it ready for you. Amen? As you obey God, God sets aside for you everything you will ever need. When you disobey God, then you don't receive seed for your next harvest. All right. The next statement, you don't have to figure out where your harvest is coming from. If you are busy sowing seeds and you committed your life to the will of God, your problem has been you've been robbing God rather than giving as God has instructed. That's been the problem, amen? And because you're robbing God, you are reaping a harvest of poverty, pain, and frustration. You've been trying to take care of your needs first, and as a result, you always have more and more needs, and most of your needs will not be taken care of. However, if you learn to do what God has instructed you to do, then all of your needs will be met. Joshua chapter 3. Let's go back there again. Joshua chapter 3. We're about finished. Joshua chapter 3. We read chapter 1 where God told them to go on over, right? Look at how this works when you obey God. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua now rose up in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. They came where? To Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over, right? Had God told them to cross over Jordan? Yes or no? Huh? Had God told them to cross over Jordan? Yes or no? Had God told them to cross over Jordan? Yes or no? Some people said, you tell us. No. Had God told them to cross over Jordan? Yes or no? Huh? Are you sure? Because we read it in chapter 1, right? Okay. So now we're in chapter 3. God had told them to cross over Jordan, right? They come up to Jordan in obedience, and they're lodging there before they cross over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God
and the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and you go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that you may know the way by which we must go. For we have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow what will happen? The Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass over before the people. They took up the Ark of the Covenant, went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you shall command the priests that bear the ark, saying, when you are come to the what? Brink of the water of what? Jordan. You're going to do what? You're going to stand still where? In the Jordan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the who is among you? The what God? Living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass that what? As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall do what? Rest in the waters of Jordan. What will happen? The waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it shall come to pass when the people remove from their tent to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark are come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. And what does it say in parentheses? For? So this was the worst time to cross over Jordan. And God said, I want you to cross over. And here I'm looking at this thing. Did they have seed from the Lord? What was their seed? The word. Remember, God gave the word in chapter 1, right? The word from the Lord, and now the word is being put in operation at the worst time. But does the word, is the word bothered by the circumstances that surround you? Does the bad times affect the word? Do the bad times affect the seed? So the word was still working, even though the Bible said Jordan was overflowing its banks. And what does the word say? Even though it's overflowing its banks, had God not responded and the water moving swiftly, it would have taken the priest away. But they had to do what? Step into the water in obedience to the word. And the water responded to the word and their obedience. And then the Bible said the water began to heap up on both sides. Do you realize what we just shared here today? Do you have any problems in your life that must be solved? I'm not talking about the ones you're used to living with and you are comfortable, you made adjustments living with. But do you have any problems in your life that must be solved? According to the word of God, you have a way to do it. God has sent the, God, your problems did not catch God by surprise. God has already sent the answer. Some of your problems will be solved immediately as soon as you obey God. As soon as you step into the river of obedience and obey God, your problems will be solved. The river will begin to stack up in heaps on each side as you respond to the word of God. He has given you seed. The answers to your prayer look like seed. When you need much from God, he gives you little, because with God, little. There's no difference with God. There's much atomic power in a grain of sand than there is in an atomic bomb. We're just the ones who don't know how to release it. So he can take a little, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and feed thousands. Or we can eat the fish. and then turn around to God and say, you're not meeting my need. And God will turn around and say, no, you're not recognizing the answer to your need. I sent it to you in seed form, and you ate your seed, or you wore your seed, or you misused your seed. One of the things we've been challenging ourselves with on Tuesday night is not just to hear the word, but to be doers of the word, to take action based on that word. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing today. Seed is not just money. When you talk about seed and giving, people, oh, Lord, they're going to ask for money. Really? Time is seed. Have you sown enough time with God for your life to be different? Time is seed. Are you connected in godly relationships? Are you still hooked up with people who will drag you down? And then blame God for where you are. Money is seed. When there's a financial need in your life, sow a seed. Expect a harvest from God. And God will honor that and begin to meet every need in your life. There's a crazy scripture in the Bible that most of us know by heart. But it's crazy, because if you think about it, it sounds so strange. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, what do? We seek the things. What is the seed in the text? Seek first. That's the seed. And then the harvest is all of the things. There's another strange one in the Bible. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, watch this, and running over shall. It doesn't say God is going to give it. He said, you give, God will set it up that men will provide your harvest. Which means that God takes your harvest and gives it to somebody else to hold for you until you obey. And then as soon as you obey, God will release the men to give into your bosom. Isn't that what the Bible says? We read it as if give, I'm going to give, and then the Lord is going to supply all of my needs. Yeah, according to his riches and glory, right? And his riches he's already placed in the hearts and lives of people on earth. God doesn't have to print money and then blow it down here to earth. He's already put it down here. But much of it has been held up because his people have been robbing God with their seed. I want a more abundant harvest than I've ever had in my life. And therefore, I am more consistent in my sowing of seed. Would you pray with me, Father? I want to thank you for the people of God today. I thank you even for those who are struggling today with what's going to happen with their life. And I trust your word has gone forth to make it clear that you give seed to the sower. You have choreographed their life to bring them today to hear this word from you. Your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. You got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. I mean, you absolutely have to make a decision for God. Your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. My friend, my brother, my sister, you got to make a decision for God. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because God wants to bless you. You're the only one holding up what God wants to do for you. Just release it today and make a decision for God. I'm going to ask you, and you're the person I'm talking to, I want you to plant a seed today of repentance before God. Repenting before God, God, I repent for being afraid to obey you. I repent for not pressing ahead with you. I repent for not being submitted to you and honoring you with everything I do. I repent, Lord, for letting people to be over me rather than you over me. I repent for all of that, oh God, and I bring that to you. I'm going to ask you to plant that seed of repentance today. And you make the connection today. You're the person that I'm talking to today. You feel you need to respond to God, and this message, you heard something that stirred your heart. And I'm going to ask you today, as we just speak of surrendering everything to the Lord today, as we speak of just turning our lives over to him again, that you would respond. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, I'm that person. I need to really just turn it over and get it right with God. I'm that person. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? I'm that person, Pastor, you're praying about. I'm that person you're talking about. I've been trying to make it, and I haven't made it just yet. But I believe I'm much closer today than I've ever been before. Would you lift your hand right where you are? Would you lift your hand right where you are? We want to pray for you in a different way today. Lift your hand, please. Lift your hand, please. You're the person that I'm speaking to. Say, Pastor, I know I'm the person. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're the person. You're the person. I gotta make a decision. Gotta make a change. I want an abundant harvest from the Lord. You're the person. My sister, would you raise your hand? You're struggling with the Lord. You can just let the struggle go today. We want to pray for you and pray with you differently today. Would you just lift your hand? I'm going to ask our elders if you would go to the two individuals who lifted their hands and begin ministering to them. And there's somebody else while we're praying and we're believing God for them. Whatever the need is in their life, we're celebrating harvest for them. Amen? We're celebrating harvest. There's somebody else, Pastor. Look, I need prayer. I'm making the connection today between me and God. Just begin praying with them and believing God for them. Somebody back up my sister there, if you would. Just begin believing God and praying. The rest of us sitting down, would you get your neighbor's hand? Would you get your neighbor's hand? Take your neighbor's hand. If no one touches you, then you reach around and touch someone yourself. Amen. Father, I believe that what your people heard today is the truth, a life-changing truth. And according to your word, you have choreographed their life to bring them right to this point. And we reach out to our neighbors and our friends, our loved ones, and we squeeze into their hand encouragement. We declare that they will not fail. We declare they're going to be faithful to you. We squeeze obedience. Father, we even pray that they will be more faithful to you in everything you've called them to do. We claim them as children of God. We lift them up before you today, and we celebrate their presence in your house. And we're praying right now, God, you would release a new understanding that even today they will see the ministry of seed in their life. They will see it in relationship. They will see it in time. They will see it in money and things that money cannot buy. And we release healing today in Jesus' name. We declare my sister will be healed in Jesus' name. We declare the authority over all the works of the enemy. And we speak healing in Jesus' name. And we bless you, God, for making healing possible. We honor you for making it possible. And we pray that you would keep them every way that they need it. Even that unspoken request they don't share with anybody. Back there in that childhood situation, God, you would minister healing to that thing right now. That it would change. It would change. The flowers would bloom again in their life today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for my neighbor. Thank you for my friend, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.